course steady. Engines at full speed, skipper.
Tell it to the second, Atkins. You better take over the rest of Mr. Kendall's watch, Harris. He's an hour late now. I'd better take Miss Challoner's advice and organize a search party.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Just get back here to my cabin by midnight, Mulkey. Then we'll carry Kendall on deck and get rid of him. Now get him back to the wireless cabin and keep your mouth shut.
I'd heard the distant sound of two bells tolling the hour of 9 p.m. as Cregan and Mulkey, the Sparks, carried me from the wireless cabin to the chief engineer's cabin. I was lying under the chief's bunk, bound hand and foot and gagged, and cursing myself for the fact that I'd stumbled on the killer I'd been searching for, only to botch his arrest. I had until midnight to work out a way of escaping and apprehending Cregan before he decided to get rid of the remaining passengers. Dr. Lawler had been right in his theory about the killer and the motive of revenge. But he was under guard in his cabin, and I could expect no help from that quarter. Major Challoner was probably in his cups by now, and I couldn't see him wanting to help me in any way. Edwin Tuker seemed no longer afraid for himself, but my absence wouldn't cause him any concern. If I was to get help, it had to come from either Captain Goddard or Sharon Challoner. As Sparks left Cregan's cabin, I heard the door shut. And then it was locked from the inside.
All right, my interfering friend, Mr. Kendall. I think it's time we had a talk. And you can come out of here. I'll get the skag off ye. But one sound and I'll shoot ye.
Oh, thanks for small mercies. If you're planning to drown me, there's no point in strangling me first.
Just keep your voice down, Kendall.
That way I get to stay alive till midnight, huh? All right, I'm not a complete fool. Mind if I prop myself up against this?
No, not at all. I'll help you.
There. I feel even more helpless than I am lying there in the middle of the floor.
Is that better? That's good. You know, I don't bear you any ill will, but unless I get rid of you, then I can't go through with my plans, can I?
Good point. But what do I have to do to prove to you that Peter Slavin was killed not by anyone on this ship or any of the people you've murdered, but by the man arrested in London by Colonel Hackney?
If I thought that was true...
Well, you know very well it's true.
Unless I'm to gag you again, keep your voice down.
You know it's true, Cregan. I've no reason to lie to you now, but if you admit the fact, then you admit that you killed Miller, Lee Blake, and Ilona Fedorov for no reason at all.
They deserved to die, each one of them. Ben Miller was a cheap criminal.
He wasn't a murderer.
He'd been in and out of prison all his life.
Is that why you chose him first?
He was the obvious choice. I saw him each morning up on the boat deck. He told me once that when he was carrying his swag, he could never sleep after sunrise. We talked up there on two occasions before I decided to kill him first.
He was the one person aboard who'd never been to England. This was his first trip away from Australia. You knew that just as I did.
That was what he said. Would you take the word of a pickpocket? A lying, thieving scoundrel?
Oh, listen, Cregan. I could have told you weeks ago that no one on this ship killed Slavin. Why didn't you come to me and tell me that Slavin was your son?
I wanted to kill you too, Kendall. That was how Blake came to die. And as long as you were alive, it meant that I could be discovered and arrested before they all paid for Peter's death.
So you sneaked down to my cabin and waited, afraid that I really did know who had killed Miller.
There was rough justice in that, even. I hid in Miller's cabin until I had Blake leave your cabin.
It was me you heard leave, Cregan. Blake was still there.
Ah, but I didn't know that, did I?
How can you say he deserved to die?
Because he was helping you. Helping you to save the lives of people and you should never be allowed to live. Lice, with clawing, greedy hands, reaching out for an extra share of the Wedderman fortune.
And you killed Lee Blake and he recognized you.
Well, he half turned after I'd shot him. He had his back to me when I opened the door of your cabin and turned the light off. It wasn't until I'd fired that I'd realized I'd shot the wrong man.
You'd better make very sure of me at midnight.
I will. You'll have a cleaner death than your ideas of justice would accord me. And I understand that before you drown, your whole life passes before your eyes. I wonder if that will be so in your case, or whether you'll just remember the things I'm telling you now.
Where did you get the knife that killed Miller?
It was his. He was very skillful with that knife, and it was very sharp. On each of the mornings I saw him up on the boat deck after my all-night stint in the engine room, he'd be whittling at a piece of wood. It wasn't hard to admire his handiwork and examine the knife. He handed it over to me with never a thought that it was to be the means of his death.
And you can sit there talking about this as if it was just something in the everyday round.
I can. And you know why? Because it stops me from thinking. Thinking of Peter. Ah, he was a bonny lad. I didn't see him after the breakup of my marriage. I was at sea, and it was obvious that, even being the kind of a woman she was, my wife could give him a better home than I. But I was to see him on this voyage.
That's why you let Captain Goddard talk you out of retiring. Talk you into making this one last trip.
Aye. When I heard that Peter was to travel to Jamaica to get his share of the Wedderman fortune, nothing would have made me swallow the anchor. Suddenly, all the years I'd wanted a boy by my side were over. I'd spent my last voyage with the lad, and I'd know at the end of it that I'd be well provided for.
And then, you're rid of his death, huh?
I went ashore at Plymouth to meet the man who'd come down from London to examine the Tangmar's engines. I bought a paper and, well, he had his picture on the front page. It was then that I knew that one of the other beneficiaries must have killed him. I decided that not one of them would reach Jamaica alive.
And how did your son meet Victor Wellerman? How did he come to be included in the will? There was nothing sent from Jamaica about that. All the details of the other passengers, yes, but nothing about your son. How did he meet Wellerman?
I knew you'd want to know that, Kendall. And since it can't do you any good, I'm going to tell you. It was a long time ago when I was serving as a third engineer on the old Geraldston. You know, in those days, my wife used to come to see with me.
Am I to take it, Captain Goddard, that you're blaming those of us present for the absence of your first officer?
You can take it any way you like, Major Challoner. But Kendall was due on the bridge more than an hour ago. And according to your daughter, he's been missing since early this afternoon. I want to know if any of you have seen him.
I'm afraid not, Captain Goddard.
I do not seek the company of Kendall from choice, I can assure you, Captain.
I am not here from choice either, Challoner. But if any of you know where Kendall is, then now is the time to speak up.
Perhaps he's fallen overboard.
Father, you have to joke about it.
I do, yes. After all, you'll admit, Goddard, that Kendall doesn't exactly strike one as the logical successor to the mantle of Sir Francis Drake.
Kendall is a fine seaman. And he's not the kind of idiot who'd fall overboard in a calm sea. But he might have been pushed, eh, Major?
By me, is that meant to imply? Sorry, Captain. I've often felt like it, but no. No, my hands are clean. Now, Tuca is really the authority on this kind of thing, aren't you, eh, Tuca? At a time when he knew he must be picked up in a perfectly flat and mirror-like sea, he leapt overboard himself. Now, isn't it logical to assume that a man who would think along those lines would assist someone else to do the same?
I'd come to respect and admire Mr. Kendall.
Had? You mean that there's no reason to do that now, eh?
I don't mean anything of the kind. But while Kendall was on this ship, I felt safe. We all did, I think.
But he still is on the Tangmar. I know he is.
Female intuition again, Sharon. You know, my dear, firstly there was Lee Blake. Well, we all know what happened to him. Now there's Dirk Kendall. You know, I think you must be something of a Jonah, Sharon.
And where do you think you're going?
To my cabin, of course. And if you do locate Kendall, tell him I was most concerned. Good night.
Major Challoner, come back here.
Let him go, Captain Goddard. My father wouldn't be any help to us. We're wasting time talking. Can't we search the ship?
I'm more than willing to help in any way I can, Captain.
I've already been over the ship. Every place where a man might be hidden.
I have a suggestion, Captain.
Hmm? What is it, Tuca?
Why not search in the places where a man might not be hidden? The unlikely places.
Such as?
The obvious places. The places which one automatically overlooks.
Let's start looking now, Captain Goddard, please. If we waste any more time, something dreadful might happen to Dirk.
In those days, I was happier than I thought any man had a right to be. A wife who loved me and a wee son. Peter was only 3 years old. And then we stopped to take on passengers and cargo at Shanghai. Victor Wehrmann came aboard. Well, do I have to tell you any more?
Is that the reason that you and your wife...
I saw them together. Something seemed to snap in my wife's brain when she discovered just who Wehrmann was. That he was a millionaire in his own right. You know, they say a woman at sea... Anyway, we parted company for good when we reached home.
And Wehrmann?
Oh, it was a joke to him. He found it amusing that anyone would take a shipboard affair seriously. Do you think I don't know why he chose the Tang Mar as a vessel to transport us people to Jamaica? Oh, of course I do. He knew that I served aboard her, and he wanted me to know that he hadn't forgotten the name of Cregan.
But why didn't he leave part of his estate to your former wife?
He knew as I knew what she would do for money. He probably enjoyed the thought that it was Peter who was to reap the benefit of her anxious greed.
Well, feeling the way you do about women, Cregan, it wasn't hard for you to kill Ilona Fedorov then.
What was she? Was she a fine woman, Kendall? Was she? Did she deserve to marry a man like Dr. Laura? Answer me that. Ah, no. She was a loose-loving... Don't say a word, Kendall. Unless you want to be killed now, don't say a word. Who is it?
The skipper, Chief. We're looking for Kendall. Open up. I want to talk to you.
Chief engineer held the gun pointed straight at my head. Outside the door was a man whose help I could count on in bringing Cregan to justice. But how was I to summon that help? It looked like stalemate in this passage of the Tang Mar.